This episode of Clearview Today is brought to you by Mighty Muscadine. David, let me ask you, how's your immune system lately?
It's honestly in critical condition.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. But what if I told you that similar to our immune system, which produces more antibodies when under attack, the muscadine grape also produces more damage-fighting antioxidants when under stress from the environment it grows in, leading to a host of health benefits?
I'd gobble them up like Tic Tacs.
Well, my friend, MightyMuscadine.com has everything you could ever need to take your health game to the next level. All their products are gluten-free, trans-fat-free, non-GMO, dairy-free, and best of all, they actually taste delicious.
I can attest to that personally. I had some of their protein powder just this morning, and it's delicious.
I know that's
their
right.
Their grape juice is delicious.
Tell it.
Their antioxidant beverages, delicious.
Preach on.
Their shampoo, their body lotion, all delicious.
What?
Best I've ever had.
I'm glad to hear that you liked it, but try not to eat the shampoo.
Too late. And I'll tell you something else. Mighty Muscadine believes in protecting God's great earth for generations to come. That's why their farming and production is environmentally friendly, and they make every effort to protect and preserve without the use of pesticides and herbicides.
You ate shampoo, though. You said your immune system was in critical condition? I think I know why.
The only problem is I'm a little short on funds.
Well, fret no more, my friend. We're going to talk about that later, but fret no more. You can visit MightyMuscadine.com and use promo code TODAY, that's T-O-D-A-Y, to unlock exclusive savings at checkout. Again, use promo code T-O-D-A-Y at checkout to enjoy a significant discount on all your purchases of Mighty Muscadine products. And listen, every single dollar you spend using that promo code helps support us here at the Clearview Today Show.
Remember, that promo code is TODAY. T-O-D-A-Y. A healthier, happier you is just a click away.
Happy Friday, everyone. Today is February the 9th. I'm Ryan Hill.
John Galantis.
You're listening to Clearview Today with Dr. Abhidhan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, or if you have any questions for Dr. Shah or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028, or you can email us at contact@clearviewtodayshow.com.
That's right. You can help us keep this conversation going by supporting the show. You can share it online with your friends and your family. Leave us a good review on iTunes or Spotify. Absolutely nothing less than 5 stars for any reason imaginable. We're going to leave some links in the description so you can do just that.
Leave us a good review on Yelp.
Deuteronomy 1:29-30 says, "Then I said to you, do not be terrified or afraid of them. The Lord your God who goes before you, he will fight for you according to all he did for you in Egypt before your eyes."
And that's a good review of the Lord.
There you go. That's a 5. That's a 10 million star review for the Lord.
It's reminding themselves of who God is. Sometimes when we're in the thick of it, we're in a stressful situation, it's really easy to forget who God is and what he's capable of.
Yes, yes.
There have been times in my life where I have just been in the valley. I've been in the pits. And I'm like, man, I'm so stressed about this situation. I'm so worried about this. And God, I don't know if you can work this out. I don't know if you can do this. And I forget, hey, this is the same God that in Exodus was like throwing fire from heaven.
Yeah.
And the same God who was throwing the plagues in Egypt. And the same God who was part and sees. He's the same God who has done all these miraculous things. Why would he not be able to work in this situation?
Right. You know, we sing stuff like, "Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father." And we sing that song that we at Clearview, we do the pairing of that hymn with You Hold It All Together, Maverick City. And so that's one of the things that that I like to say sometimes before we start worshiping is that this is not a question. Like, God, are you going to be faithful to us?
Yeah.
It's saying, God, great is your faithfulness. It's there. It exists. Not only is it there, but I see it.
Yep.
I affirm it. And a lot of times in our prayers, we do take that mentality. God, I'm going through this. Are you going to be faithful to me? I think you will, but I just need to know. I need some confirmation that you're going to be faithful here. And I love that hymn and that song because it's such, like I said, an affirmation. God, you are faithful. I've seen you move in the past. I've seen you move mountains for me. I've seen you work miracles for me. Not just I've read about it in the Bible. I've seen it happen in my life.
Yeah.
And therefore, I know you're faithful. You know?
Yeah. I will cause myself to remember.
That's right.
Cause my mind and my heart to remember.
That's right. Well, it is Friday, and Friday, I got some people texting the show that said yesterday was Thursday. Rebecca Black style, they're telling us the days of the week,
Friday.
It's Friday. We didn't do advice no one needed.
We didn't. You're right.
Here's our advice of the week segment, or not advice of the week, advice no one needed. Treat Friday like it's your day off.
Huh?
Treat Friday like it's the early weekend, like it's your day off.
What if it's not your day off?
Treat it as though it is. Don't go to work. No, that's not what I'm saying.
Wait a minute. What?
So here's what I'm saying. A lot of times when you have a day off, you dream of relaxation. You dream of, like, your plan is, I'm gonna chill. I'm going to just kind of take it easy. But if you're married, you know, what's the one thing you do on your day off?
Chores.
You do chores. Yeah. You work. You grind and you slave your fingers right to the bone. So here's what I'm saying. Do that stuff on Friday. Now you don't have to dread Saturday because all that stuff is done. So I'm saying let Friday be, treat it as though it's your day off. Go home and, like, okay, so first and foremost, when you're at work, hey, it's Friday. Cool. We got a heart of praise because I'm praising the Lord because it's Friday. Now it's time for the weekend. But then when you go home, go ahead and do all those chores.
Write in and let us know your Friday, 252-582-5028, or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Don't forget to head over to mightymuscadine.com, the sponsors of today's episode. Check out their line of products. Use the promo code TODAY, T-O-D-A-Y, when you check out. It's going to get you a discount, and a portion of that proceed is going to support your favorite podcast, The Clearview Today Show.
That's right.
We'll be back after this.
What's going on, listeners? My name is John.
And I'm David.
And we hope you are enjoying the podcast thus far.
You know, we really appreciate how many of you download the podcast every day.
Right.
But we also want to remind you that we are first and foremost a radio show.
Clearview Today is actually syndicated through the Truth Network. And we just want to let you know right now that in addition to hosting the all-time best Christian talk show of all time.
Hashtag Clearview Today.
Hashtag Clearview Today. The Truth Network also, as it turns out, has an extensive library of Christian programming.
We really love everything they're doing at the Truth Network because the whole goal is to encourage, challenge, confront, and uplift listeners with the life-changing truth of Jesus Christ through Christian Talk Radio.
And listen, we know we're not the only show wanting to expand its audience. So if you have a vision for your show or for your ministry, why don't you consider syndicating your show through the Truth Network? Because they rely on decades of experience of self-syndication with a full array of features for your long-form or short-form content.
Make sure you visit the Truth Network online today at truthnetwork.com. Or you can give them a call at 336-759-0363. Again, that's 336-759-0363. Well, John, are you ready?
I was born ready, my friend. Let's hop right back in.
All right.
Welcome back to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, or if you have any questions or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028.
That's right. We want to join in the chorus with Miss Rebecca. Oh, I messed it up. Rebecca back with Miss Rebecca Black and say it's Friday. Time to hold it together, dude.
Rebecca back.
Time to get down on Friday. You are here in the Clearview Today studio.
Who is Rebecca Black?
Don't you remember that song? It was like from 2013.
YouTube pop star had
it's
that one
Friday,
hit.
Friday.
It was just gotta so get cringy down on and Friday. Terrible.
You don't remember that? No. It was like in 2012.
But 2010? Her name was definitely Rebecca and not
Rebecca,
Rebecca
Black was her name. So she was like 13. Her parents paid for some studio time. She came out with this bop hit called Friday. And boy, howdy, people tore her up. Yeah. To be fair, the internet was kind of mean. That was a 13-year-old
girl. Yeah, the internet was kind of mean. It was a very cringy song. But, you know, if your parents pay for you to have studio time, whatever. Who cares?
Anyway, you're here. We're not talking about Rebecca Black on today's episode. You're here with Dr. Abadan Shah, who is a PhD in New Testament textual criticism, professor at Carolina University, author, full-time pastor, and the host of today's show. Dr. Shah, it's good to see you this beautiful Friday.
Happy Friday.
Thank you. And same to you guys.
Absolutely. Same to you as well. You know, we're going forward in Black History Month, and we kind of talked about this yesterday that there's always these heroes of Black History Month, but then there's these obscure figures that we don't typically think about. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about one of them today.
Yeah.
On February the 9th.
We are talking about President John Quincy Adams.
Yes. You know, it's funny. Last night I went home and actually did watch an episode of Johnny Quest.
Really? Because
we talked about Johnny Q. Yeah. Johnny Q.
Johnny Quest.
Yeah.
Sixth president of the United States.
Yeah.
Very, very new to the game. This new America thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he was anything but new to politics. Mm-hmm. Remember, his father was also president at one time. Mm-hmm. And John Quincy Adams was growing up he had, I wouldn't say he had a rough childhood, but he was quite a, kind of odd. Mm-hmm. His parents pushed him to be successful. In fact, there are stories about his mother, Abigail Adams, of course you know, made him read to her at the age of 7. Not like a nursery rhyme book or the Bible. She made him read Charles Rollins' Ancient History of the Egyptians, Carthaginians, Assyrians, Babylonians, Medes and Persians, Macedonians and Greeks.
My favorite bedtime story.
Yeah, it's just up there with Mother Goose.
Yeah. I mean, that's torturous to a little.
Intense.
Yes.
I don't know that I would want to read that as a 31-year-old, let alone a 7-year-old.
And then at 10 years of age, he is traveling with his father across the ocean for diplomatic missions. And then more things happen where, they just controlled his life.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
Adams. Yeah, Quincy they controlled Adams. His life. He graduated from Harvard very early, and he was appointed by President Washington as the American minister to the Netherlands at just 26 years of age.
Wow.
Yeah, I know this is a new nation. But still, 26 years of age.
Yeah, that's young.
Yeah,
that's young. And all he wanted to do was be a poet.
Really? That's all?
I did not know that. Yeah. Really?
All he wanted to do was to be a poet. And his parents were like, I don't think so.
Politics for you, buddy.
Yeah, if you're reading
sit
like...
Sit down and we're going to read Greco-Roman history.
If you're reading like, what'd you say, the Romans, the Carthaginians, all that stuff, you ain't being no poet.
No.
Mommy and daddy ain't going to allow that.
And then he had the audacity to fall in love with a woman, with a young girl. She was 16 years old. He was 22. And when Abigail Adams found out, she just said, not going to happen. Not going to happen. She wrote to him and said this. I mean, listen to this. Common fame reports that you are attached to a young lady. I am sorry that such a report should prevail. And a too early marriage will involve you in troubles that may render you and yours unhappiness the remainder of your life.
Mm.
And so...
What's, translation.
That's it.
Go sit down.
So he had to break off the engagement.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought I really saw that going a different direction. I thought that was the straw that broke the camel's back.
His heart was so broken over this that his mom just told him, not going to happen.
Abigail.
She said, that's going to be a no today.
That's going to be a no from me.
That's going to be a no from me.
That's going to be absolutely not from me.
And then a few years later, he fell in love with another young lady, an English woman, and in London. And he was smart enough to not tell his parents.
There you go.
And had a little ceremony back in London and got married.
There you go.
Married real quick.
It took a little bit of time. You said how old was he when he got married the second time?
I don't know the exact age, but I mean, this is 1797. So he was born in 1767. So 1797 would be 30.
finally
like,
learned his lesson.
I gotta do what I gotta do. And when his parents found out, they did not accept him marrying a foreigner. He was quite a unique person. And the reason we're talking about him in the month of February is because he was a leading opponent of slavery in the United States.
That's right.
But I mean, there's other things he did as well. You know, before we talk about his impact on the matter of slavery in the United States, and we're talking about the pre-Civil War, the antebellum days, and we'll talk about that. But he also was known as the best Secretary of the United States.
Wow.
Yeah, Secretary of State.
What earned him that reputation?
Well, because he negotiated many things. For example, he negotiated what's known as the Adam Onis Treaty of 1819, which gave us Florida.
Ooh, nice.
You're welcome, Florida. Thank
you
President
owe a lot
Adams,
to Mr.
President
Johnny
JQA.
Q. There you go.
You're welcome.
Very nice.
Yeah, and all the way up into the Gulf of Mexico, all the way to Texas. I mean, this is part of that.
Wow.
So we wouldn't have
the great
Disney
Sunshine
World
State of
yeah,
Florida.
Yeah,
no Disney
States.
World, no Epcot, no Universal, none of that stuff.
No oranges.
No.
No alligators. Oranges. No Everglades.
Nope.
Everglades. None of that.
No,
it
Miami.
Would still exist. It just wouldn't be ours.
Yeah. We could look at it from across the border.
That's not ours. So thank President John Quincy Adams for that.
You know, it's funny because we tend to, and I'm sure we're going to get into this later, but we tend to think of everyone from that era being pro-slavery.
Right.
Because it's before Civil War times, so right. everyone in history must have been all for it.
Yeah.
And we don't realize the nuance and the complexity of, of history.
Yeah, right. Well, and I mean, sixth president of the United States, that's very early in United States history.
And very influential figure. Now, we mentioned about the Florida, but then also keep in mind, in 1818, he had also kind of gained the northern border of the United States from Minnesota to the Pacific Ocean. I mean, that's also part of the tree and all, you know, his hard work. And then we discussed the Monroe Doctrine, if you remember that. No European countries can now come over and stake their claim here.
Right.
1823. John Quincy Adams was key, was a key figure in that doctrine. I mean, to make it happen.
Yes, and we'll link that episode because it does seem like they kind of go together. We talked about the Monroe Doctrine in great detail a couple weeks ago. We'll go ahead and link that in the description so y'all can listen to that one as well.
Yeah, his presidency. I want to say a few words about that. You know, he won the election in 1824, but it was not as impactful as you would think. At least according to him. He himself said, my presidency was kind of useless. It was not that great.
Is it only because he was a one-term president? Or do you think he just wasn't able to get a lot done in that time?
That's how he saw it. He saw it as just not as significant. Now, the election was controversial by itself. You know, we talk about elections stolen.
Yeah.
Well, he would have said, well, I don't know. Maybe it got stolen. I don't know. But there were four candidates in this election. Of course, there was John Quincy Adams from Massachusetts. Then you had Henry Clay. I mean, these are powerful names of Kentucky, who later on became his Secretary of State. Then you have Andrew Jackson of Tennessee. I mean, what an interesting character. And then William Crawford of Georgia. So these were the four who ran for this. And then, of course, Adams won on February the 9th, 1825. And some people claim that this election had been stolen. So
nothing new under the sun, I suppose.
Yeah. But when he didn't get the second term, he didn't even show up.
Bro,
For the swearing in for the next president.
I just talked you up, Johnny Q. I tried to toss him a bone.
But he was sort of like his daddy. His daddy didn't show up either. But his daddy kind of went away. You know, he kind of went off. But John Quincy decided to stick around, but I'm not coming.
I see why you started the episode with he's kind of an odd character.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
Very interesting. And again, if you watch Amistad by Steven Spielberg, that's one of those movies that are hard to watch. Hard to watch. I wouldn't recommend that for like little kids.
You're right.
Of course not. But it's one that opens your eyes to how terrible slavery was.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, because we often hear the good sides, but how about the bad side? Right? I mean, good sides like, oh, yeah, there's not everybody mistreated their slaves, blah, blah, blah. Okay, I hear that. And I get it, and I agree. But the bad sides was really bad.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So, but this was in 1841, where he defended before the Supreme Court 53 Africans who had been on this ship. They were, of course, unjustly taken and sold into slavery.
Right.
But they sort of rebelled. They fought against the people on the ship and took control. And for that, they were being tried.
Wow.
Kind of interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, like, they were looking at
your slaves, but now we're going to try you for rebelling. How do you make sense of that?
I don't know.
Wait a minute. That
it's like you go over there and you're like, all right, y'all belong to us now. It's like, no, I don't think so. Oh! Got you.
Yeah.
Like, what?
What?
What just happened?
Yeah. So you're saying John Quincy Adams defended those slaves.
Right.
And in their trial.
If you've seen the movie, Matthew McConaughey is one of those people who's kind of helping.
Bro, I forgot he was in.
He is in that movie.
All right.
And yeah, that's right. And there's an African actor, I forgot his name now, but he's pretty famous now, but he got his start in that movie. Anybody remember the name of the
I can find out.
Yeah, he was.
What character did he play? Do you remember?
He played the main character.
Oh, okay.
On Amistad.
Hang on.
He was one of the main actors.
That would be.
Yeah.
Let me tell you real quick.
What's his name?
Jaimin Hansu.
Microphone.
Jaimin Hansu?
Jaimin Hansu.
The microphone.
Korath, the pursuer in MCU.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
Jaimin Hounsou.
Yeah. So it was Morgan Freeman, Nigel Hawthorne, Anthony Hopkins, and then Jaimin Hounsou. He's the guy that Star-Lord is trying to...
Yeah, same guy.
I didn't realize that was him.
Really good actor. And that was, I think that was his first start.
Wow.
In the West.
Stellan Skarsgård is in that too. Oh my goodness. That's a knockout cast.
Yeah, it was intense.
Yeah.
Nicole watched it with me and she's like, I can't watch that again. Yeah. And I'd watch that again.
It's like one of those, I feel like, and I've never seen, I need to watch it. It's one of those I feel like you have to see, but you don't really go back and watch multiple times.
Just like Schindler's List.
I was just about to say Schindler's List. Schindler's That's List not on anybody's like rewatch list.
Yeah.
I've watched it several times because I think time to time we need to all watch movies like that, especially in the world where they say, oh, the Jewish people never went through a Holocaust. Mm-hmm. Maybe you need to go watch it again.
Yeah.
Maybe you need to go do some history lessons. Do some investigation. You'll find out it did happen.
Yeah.
In this age of revisionist history where we're trying to sweep things under the rug or pretend like things didn't happen. No. Watch the movies that are going to make you uncomfortable, and they should make you uncomfortable.
That's right. That's right.
So going back to this situation where they were sold, I'm trying to get my facts straight because I know the overarching story or the outline of the story, but they finally were captured and then many died and all that kind of stuff. It were horrible conditions on that ship.
Mm.
And then they were imprisoned in Connecticut, which unlike New York was a slave state at the time. And now they were brought before the court system to see what will happen to them. And so now it was fell into John Quincy Adams' lap to see what he will do about it. And he made an amazing defense. I'm seeing, see if I can find some of the statements that he made in this speech.
It's just one of those things where we tend to forget, and I think we've said this on the show before, but that people's views on slavery evolved over an amount of time.
Right.
And it's easy. It's really, really easy for us to sit here in 2024 and be like, slavery was bad. It's like, yes, of course.
Yes.
But put yourself in a position of privilege in those times.
Yeah.
You are going to do, like, you're going to do what the people around you are doing.
Right.
And even if you don't, there are some people who did have those abolitionist views at the time. Mm-hmm. They were few and far between, and they had a very, very uphill battle to fight.
Well, and just because slavery was in existence doesn't mean that people weren't working toward abolishing it. It wasn't like a suddenly we decided that this was bad and now we're going to put a stop to it. This is an issue that is, you know, is affecting people, and people's opinions are evolving in real time, and people are learning and growing. So it's not something where people just decide that, oh, this is bad, now we're going to put a stop to it. It's, you know, I'm fighting against a societal norm. That's not something that takes place overnight.
That's right, because thousands of years from now, people will, if Christ doesn't return, people will be looking at our morals and our societal norms and being like, what monsters? Right. How could they have done that?
Yeah, how could they have allowed this to happen?
We would never in 3024 allow this kind of thing to happen. Yeah. This is the cycle of morality that happens. And it just kind of goes back to say, Dr. Shah, I know you've said this in the past, when you don't have the Bible at the center, there's always going to be fluidity in people's morals.
Right. Well, he says in his diary, now John Quincy Adams, just like his daddy, was very meticulous and very detailed in his diary. So, I mean, thousands of pages of things he wrote, or hundreds of pages he wrote. But he made this statement regarding the emancipation cause. He said, "The world, the flesh, and all the devils in hell are arrayed against any man who now, in this North American Union, shall dare to join the standard of Almighty God to put down," he's talking about the issue of slavery.
Mm-hmm.
Means everybody's against this.
Right.
And he even talks about himself not being able to be as strong as he used to be when he was young to fight this thing. But then he goes on to say, "What can I? Upon the verge of my 74th birthday, with a shaking hand, a darkening eye, a drowsy brain, and with all my faculties dropping from me one by one, as the teeth are dropped from my head, what can I do for the cause of God and man?
Wow.
For the progress of human emancipation, yet my conscience presses me on."
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. And you can tell that someone who does have that strong moral center and has the Bible at the forefront of what he's doing.
That's right. That's right. And so this is John Quincy Adams, and of course he fought against this. His arguments are just so intense. I have pictures of them and of some of the original documents, and it's just a lot.
You know, as we've been talking about his life and sort of his stance as a president, it makes me think of people who may be listening to the show who recognize things that are going on around them. Maybe they're in a setting where, you know, in a school system or in a workplace or something, and they see something that's not right. And they feel, you know, maybe I should say something about it, but I don't really know how to go about that. What is some advice that you would give them if they notice something is wrong and they feel like they should stand up and speak out against it, but maybe feel uncomfortable doing so?
You can never go wrong standing up for the truth.
That's true. Mm.
Now, I'm not saying wrong will not happen to you. You may get blackballed. Mm-hmm. Many times he would get insulting notes from people. Mm. But you know, John Quincy Adams was kind of an odd fellow anyways. Mm. somebody said about him and his daddy, is like, if someone somewhere is happy, something's wrong with that.
That's never
just,
pleased.
That was just his personality.
Yeah.
So, but having said that, getting nasty notes doesn't feel good.
Right. Mm.
Even
right.
though he was sort of that curmudgeon type personality, he was still a human being.
Right.
So be prepared to know that you may be disliked, you may be mistreated, you may have people refuse to shake your hand or look at you like, you're so ignorant, you don't get it. You are such a traitor. Be willing to stand. Stand for the truth. Mm-hmm. And as long as you do that, just know with God, you're never a minority.
That's right.
And John Quincy Adams had that confidence that what he was doing was a right thing for this country, and he fought for it. And we don't need to destroy that history. Mm-hmm. When people destroy history or rewrite history or whatever their agenda is, golly, what are you doing?
It's harmful.
It is harmful.
Yeah.
I think the thing is, we don't see how it's harmful right now. I mean, we may see how it's harmful, but I think the world at large, either the ones who are perpetrating it or the ones who just simply don't care, they're just like, I just let them do what they want, just ignore them. They don't understand the harm that's going to come. And my fear is that, or my concern really, I should say, is that we're not going to see that harm until it's too late.
Right. Mm-hmm. You know? Right. And it will take away any heroes that people will need one day. They will need heroes one day. Those countercultural people, those who stood up against their own. I mean, John Quincy Adams was as white as he gets,
yeah.
as you can get. And yet he stood up against many who at the time were saying, why are you doing this? Yeah. Why are you doing this? This should not be your legacy.
Yeah.
And he stood up against that. So if we erase such names and peoples from history, then who will people look to one day?
Yeah.
Because they will think, man, all my people always opposed always stood for slavery or, you know, were
supported slavery.
Supportive of slavery
yeah.
because there's no one there.
Yeah.
But when you bring up names like this, and no, that's not true. There's a John Quincy Adams. There's an Abraham Lincoln. There's so many others. That's when people realize, oh, wait, that's not true.
That's right.
So I think many times people are working against themselves.
That's true.
Mm. And learning about people like John Quincy Adams helps us to realize that, you know, it is possible, even when there is a vocal majority against you, it is possible to stand up for what's right. And we are called to do that.
Not only possible, but beneficial. Think about the success that he achieved in that Amistad case just by standing up and doing what's right, going against the grain.
Yeah.
And that's what Christ has told us to do anyway.
That's right. So good.
I want to read for you this letter of thanks that John Quincy Adams wrote after the whole case was done and all that. He was given a gift, okay? And these people who were set free, these 53 from Amistad who were set free, and guess what the gift was? Listen to this. John Quincy Adams writes, he says, "Dear sir, I received and accept with thanks the elegant Bible presented to me by Sinke Kina Kale and the 32 other mendians who are indebted to you and your benevolent associates, probably for their lives, certainly for their deliverance from unjust prosecution and long protracted imprisonment, and finally for the means of returning to their own country. hope for the consummation of your kindness to them. I hope for the consummation of the kindness to them in the accomplishment of their restoration and freedom and safety to their native land.
Wow.
They gave him a Bible.
That's insane.
As thanks.
That's awesome.
I love that. If you guys enjoyed today's episode, maybe it was helpful for you, learned something that you didn't know before, write in and let us know, 252-582-5028. Or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. You can partner with us financially on that same website. Scroll to the bottom, click that donate button, and let us know it's coming from our Clearview Today Show family. Also want to say a big thank you to Mighty Muscadine for sponsoring this episode of the Clearview Today Show. Head on over to their website, mightymuscadine.com, and check out their line of products. Use that promo code today, T-O-D-A-Y, when you check out, and that'll get you a discount on your purchase, as well as a portion of those purchases coming right back here to the Clearview Today Show. John, what thoughts you want to leave our listeners with this week?
Valentine's Day is coming up next week, fellas, and lady fellas as well, so make sure you are here listening to the Clearview Today Show. We're going to help you out. We're going to be talking about love. We're going to be doing a very special episode on Valentine's Day itself. I think next week we're also celebrating Abraham Lincoln's birthday. Lots of great things coming up on the Clearview Today Show next week. It's a big, big week. Stay tuned. We'll be here when you get back.
That's right. I also want to encourage you guys, if you don't have a church family, find one to worship with this weekend. So important that we are involved in God's family, worshiping alongside God's people this weekend, on Saturday or Sunday, whichever service time works best for you. Love you guys. We'll see you Monday on Clearview Today.